Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Talking to a gal the other week, and she says, well, I'm here on Saturday night, but I go to this other church. And she almost said it apologetically. And she said, I love it. And I said, I'm glad you love it. I want you to love it. I don't want you to leave there and come here. I want you to love the church that you're in and to love the people you're ministering with and to. Because God has put us together as a larger team in this city.
We should love our church, but our loyalty and commitment we live out should be to our God, first and foremost, not to our church. Our church, whatever church we attend, is a bigger part of the entire body of Christ, yet we are all one. With more on what the church is all about and words of wisdom from Paul in Romans chapter 16, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson.
There's something special about the bond we share in Christ. I've shared before that upon visiting churches, I've always been amazed as I walk through the church and no one knows me, how no one will even give me eye contact. I'm excited about visiting a church and I go in and I'm kind of walking around. Maybe that's why I'm just kind of excited and looking around. They're like, look at that guy. But they don't give eye contact and I think, are we in a mall? Are we not all together in Christ? Shouldn't there be this communion, this koinonia that we have together of really knowing one another and treating one another the way that is worthy of saints? He goes on to say, assist her in whatever business she has in need for you. This is part of what we do. We assist one another. It says, for indeed she has been a helper of many, and of myself also. She's helped many and she needs some help. And this is what we should do. And I love that it happens. I love that sometimes you guys will come to us with a need that a family has and that sometimes we'll organize something to help out that family. But I also love that it's happened organically in the church. That sometimes you guys have seen the need and you've just gathered together with maybe a home fellowship or a group of people you know, or maybe it's a family in the school that the school got together with and they came alongside and helped them out. And it didn't do anything that went through the church. It was just organic within the church. We are to help one another out. Do you know people well enough to be able to help them out? Would it surprise you to know that there are some here today who are in crisis? There are some in here today who need to be helped, but we don't know because we haven't had a chance to know you or you haven't had a chance to know them. And so we shake hands and we put on our brave face in the midst of maybe even a deep loneliness. Can there be a greater loneliness than to be alone in a crowd of people that are supposed to love one another, that are supposed to care for each other? Phoebe helped people, and people helped her, and we're supposed to help one another. May God help us to get to know one another in such a relationship that we can help each other in the things that we need. Boy, isn't that just a powerful start to this chapter? He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Paul will say that a lot. My fellow workers. He saw them together with them doing the work. Priscilla and Aquila were Jewish. They lived in Rome. They were part of the church in Rome. At one point, all of the Jewish people were exiled out of Rome several times by different emperors in the first century. We know that they went to Corinth because they were exiled out of Rome. The Bible tells us that. And they met Paul. Paul was a tent maker. They were tent makers. Paul loved Jesus. They loved Jesus. They were saved somewhere else and came and met Paul, and they worked together in Corinth. Then when Paul went to Ephesus and planted a church there, Priscilla and Aquila came later on and helped to work in the church in Ephesus, and they met a man by the name of Apollos. Apollos was a good speaker. He was a guy who was just sold out for the Lord, but he was incomplete. He only knew of John the Baptist and the work that he did. Basically went around preaching, telling people, get ready, because the Messiah is coming. Priscilla and Aquila could have went around and said, this guy's whack. Jesus has already come. Don't listen to him at all. But instead, you know what they did? They pulled him aside and they explained the gospel more thoroughly to him. And he became one of the great first century preachers. So much so that when the church in Corinth were dividing themselves carnally among pastors, they were like, I'm of this guy, I'm of this guy. I'm a Paul, I'm a Peter, I'm a Mary. No, Mary wasn't one of them. Peter, Paul, and Mary. I'm of Paul, I'm a Peter, I'm of Apollos. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, did Apollos die for you? Did Paul die for you? Did Cephas, Peter die for you? We are all of Christ. Stop these divisions and be one. There's a oneness that we have that is in Christ. Priscilla and Aquila, by the way, I think Priscilla's the gal. She's mentioned first. Maybe she kind of took that front role in ministry. But they were a couple. How many of you guys here minister together as couples? And blesses me. No greater thing for a couple to do than to minister together for Christ as a couple. Priscilla and Aquila. There'll be another couple named a little bit later on. Fellow workers in Jesus Christ. They say, who risked their own neck for my life. And we don't know when that was. We don't have in the book of Acts Priscilla and Aquila ever risking their neck for the life of Paul. But we do know that Paul speaks of a time that he fought beasts in Ephesus. Some believe he might have been thrown into an arena to literally fight the beast. Paul also says of himself, I had a sentence of death upon me, and it happened to me so I would learn not to trust in myself, but to trust in God who raises people from the dead. In other words, Paul came to the point where he thought he was dead. Whatever was happening to him, he didn't see a way out. And he thought, I'm dying here. And God rescued him. Maybe Priscilla and Aquila were a part of that, risking their own neck. And we don't have a lot of persecution now. Maybe one day we will. And maybe one day we'll actually risk our necks for one another for that sake. But I'll tell you what we do do. And that is, and I didn't mean do-do. I tell you what we do. I don't need two of them there, right? I tell you what we do. We are there with each other through dark and difficult times of life. We walk people through illnesses, some of them to death and some of them to recover. We walk people through the loss of a spouse or the loss of a child or the loss of health. We come alongside of people and we love them and we give ourselves to help them during those times. Again, would it surprise you to know that there are people in this room, not far away from you right now, who are in great depths of difficulty. Darkness has engulfed them. They put on their brave face. But if we knew them, we could be there for them. And you might say, if I did know that there was someone here who had just lost their husband or had just lost a child, I'd be there for them. Well, we can be if we truly get to know one another. We can have the network that they had if we make a commitment to reach out of a comfort zone and really and truly love the way that we're supposed to. He says, Priscilla and Aquila, they risked their neck for me. And he says, and to whom not only I give thanks, Paul says, and I'm thankful they did because I'm still here, but also the churches of the Gentiles. He says the same thing in 2 Corinthians. He goes, people all over the place are rejoicing and thankful that I'm alive. The churches of the Gentiles that Paul administered to, they had helped to bless by saving him. He says, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia in Christ. This is the first guy to get saved in that area. There's something special about being involved in people who come to Christ. Every once in a while, well, I met a guy not long ago, doesn't go to this church, goes to another church in town, but I met him and he said, hey, I want you to know, it was at one of your services and you asked people to raise their hand if they wanted to give their lives to Christ and I raised my hand when you gave the invitation. There was something special that he has with me because I was used by God. God was the one who saved him, but I had that privilege of seeing him into the kingdom. And I didn't even know it. But he did. Paul knew this guy that he brought to the Lord. There's something about those we minister to. There's a connection. One plants, one waters, and God adds the increase. But we're all involved in it. Note here that he greets the church that's in Priscilla and Aquila's house. There's a house church. Some people say, well, house churches are the only way to go. But no, in the book of Acts, they met in public places and they met in homes. Small churches are good. Medium-sized churches are good. And large churches are better. No, they're good. And some people are ministered to better in a small church. And some people are ministered to better in a medium church. Some people are ministered to better in a larger church. It doesn't matter. All of that is, you know, we get so caught up, we get so misled into the things that don't matter. What matters is what these people are doing inside of a small church, a medium church, or a large church. That's what matters. It's like when you think, well, do I buy a Nissan or do I buy a Honda or do I buy a Ford? Don't matter. As long as you're driving the way you're supposed to drive when you're in whatever car you're in. And if you like your car and you're proud of it, good. I'm glad you do. But hey, the Prius is driving down the road just like a Corvette. Right? You Prius people don't judge the Corvette, by the way. And you Corvette people don't judge the Prius. It happens both ways, doesn't it? But there's something about our church that we ought to really love it. I'm not saying, and you guys know this if you've been here, I'm not saying that the church is where your allegiance is because your allegiance is to Jesus Christ. But loving your church. Saturday, we have a Saturday night service. A lot of churches don't. Every so often, people come to Saturday night service with their friends. And talking to a gal the other week, and she says, well, I'm here on Saturday night, but I go to this other church. And she almost said it apologetically. And she said, I love it. And I said, I'm glad you love it. I want you to love it. I don't want you to leave there and come here. I want you to love the church that you're in and to love the people you're ministering with and to. Because God has put us together as a larger team in this city with these churches. We're talking about commending someone to the Lord. Yesterday morning, I was talking to someone. I live in Oro Valley. When I married Kathy, I already lived kind of up on the northwest side, but when I married Kathy, her children live in Oro Valley. And I thought, we talked, let's keep you close to your kids and grandkids. It's a good thing. I'll drive. Now when I'm driving that 40 minutes, I'm thinking I shouldn't have moved all the way up to Oro Valley. It's a long ways. But I'm talking to a guy there, and he's just becoming interested in Christ, and his wife's going through a particular struggle now, illness, severe illness. And I talked to him a little bit, and I said, and he said, where's your church at? And I told him, and he gave me a look like, that's a long ways. And I didn't want to say, it's 40 minutes, come on, drive it. Some of you guys do. But I said, listen, there's a church over here, it's the Oro Valley Church of the Nazarene. And Craig, I think it's Coulter, is the pastor there, and I know him, and he's a great guy. It's a growing church, you're gonna love it. I love commending people to other works and what God's doing. It's not just about, my whole life isn't about this church, it's about the church and what we do. It's one of the reasons that we are so blessed to have a pastors and leadership conference every year in March, that we can come alongside of other churches and help to minister to them as well. He says, greet Mary, who labored much for us. We don't know what Mary that is. He says in verse 7, greet Andrikaeus and Juna, my countrymen and fellow prisoners. Another couple. They're countrymen, so I take it they're either Jewish or they were from Tarsus, where Paul was from. Fellow prisoners. I imagine you never forget the people that you're in prison with. Maybe you want to forget, but that you don't. But imagine if you were imprisoned for the sake of the Lord. It might surprise you to find out that I did a stint in jail. I was 18 years old. I'd lost my driver's license because of points. That probably doesn't surprise you either. This foot is really heavy. And when I got caught driving without a driver's license, I was 18 years old. So now it's, you know, adult thing. I'm 18 years old, and I get caught, and they arrest me, handcuff me, and take me down to the jail, which is a new experience for me. And then I get released and I have to come back for the court case and I don't have a lawyer. I should have. Get a lawyer. And so he looks at my record and he starts turning pages and he keeps turning. I'm standing in front of him and he stops and he says, "I would really like to be lenient with you, but you have way too many tickets." Praise the Lord, I haven't had a ticket in a while, by the way. I have been pulled over, but I didn't get a ticket. And he says to me, "I'm going to give you 7 days in jail." And I go, the words that came out of my mouth when I said, "I have a job. I have a job. What am I going to do? I have a job." And he says, "I'm work release then." So work release was you go and you check in at, I think it was 9 at night. They bring you in at like 11 after dinner's been done. And they take you through the process and you change into your jumpsuit thing. And then you go in and praise God, I had a cell to myself, which was my greatest fear. And there was a lock that locked automatically when they put us in the cell, which I was so thankful for. But when we were processing, and this is a true story, we come in the first time in and they get us in line and there's about 8 or 9 of us that work release and we have our jumpsuits on. And the guard goes to the first guy and says, "Take off your jumpsuit and squat down. Take off, strip. It's a strip search and squat down." So I'm in the middle of the row and I'm just like full panic. I'm like 18 years old and I'm like, oh my goodness. And so he's coming down the row and he gets to me, true story. I mean, I'm 18, but I look 12, all right? And I must have looked terrified because he looks at me and he goes, "Never mind." And he goes to the next one. Either he saw the terror in my face, which is a distinct possibility, or he said, "This guy's not bringing anything in. Look at this guy. He is not bringing anything in here. I'm confident of that." When I got in there, I started recognizing a guy. There's one guy I recognized. He was playing pool, and there's a pool table in there, he was playing pool. And I suddenly realized, that's the guy I accused of stealing my motorcycle. I had his motorcycle stolen. A few months later, I'm driving down the road and I see it in the driveway of a house. And so I park and I run up and I look and I look for a couple of identifying markers. Like, that is my bike. So I call the police and I'm there and they get there and this guy comes out and I say, "That's my bike." And he goes, "It's my bike." And they check the numbers and it's not my bike. Or he changed the numbers. I don't know how it could be identical to my bike with identical scratches. Of course, now that I think about it, if you lay a bike down, it's probably going to scratch in the same place. But I'd laid my bike down, had some scratches. Nevertheless, I had accused this guy to his face. And now I'm looking at him playing pool in prison, in jail. You always want to make it sound worse. I was in the penitentiary and I saw the guy shooting pool. Of course he was there. But can you imagine if you're in prison with someone? Listen. Ministry sometimes is hard. Mission work is hard. Going down into Mexico and working with an orphanage is hard. Going to build a home in Mexico is hard. Going to Africa with a group of people is hard. These are all mission things that we do. You will develop a kinness. Is that a word? You will develop a deep friendship with those who you go and work hard with. If ever it's going to prison, you'll develop something deep with it's in prison. He says, who are of note among the apostles? The apostles know Andreas and Juna. And they also were in Christ before me. They were saved before I was. Paul had been saved for a long time now, but they were saved before I was. He then kind of gets into a list of names and he just starts rattling off. He says, "Greet Ampolus, my beloved in the Lord." Notice his affection, "my beloved in the Lord." "Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ," and "Statius, my beloved." "Greet Apelles, approved in Christ." "Greet those who are in the household of Aristobulus." "Greet Herodian, my countryman." "Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord." "Greet Trophina and Trophosa." Gotta be twins. They gotta be twins. By the way, there's a name to name your baby. Everybody's looking to name their kid a name that isn't out there at all. They're coming up with new names. That's the thing now, right? Hey, there are some names in this chapter for you. Tryphena and Trophosa, those would be great names for twins. "Who have labored in the Lord." "Greet the beloved Priscus." I wonder if Priscus was Prissy. "Who labored much in the Lord." "Greet Rufus." Don't name your child Rufus. Name your dog Rufus, but not your child. But Rufus was chosen in the Lord. Greet his mother and mine. Was he related to Paul? Was he his brother? Or some believe that this Rufus is the Rufus mentioned as the child of Simon who carried the cross for Christ. We don't know, but maybe. Greet Ion Citrus, Aeon Citrus, Phlygian, Hermas, Protobus, Hermes, there's an easy one, and the brethren who are with them. Greet Phlegius, Julia, Nerosus and her sister, Olympias, yay, easy one, and the saints who are with them. And finally, greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. Some of you guys are looking at me now going, don't go there. Don't go there. In the Mediterranean, and today, they greet each other with kisses. They kiss on each side of the cheek. A quick mwah, mwah. But they don't really, if you look, they're not really kissing. So I'm at church, I don't know what, a few years ago, at the West Campus. And a guy comes up to me afterwards, and he comes up and he wants to hug. And I have no problem. You know, I'm hugging him. And he kisses me on the cheek, whiskers and all. Just lays one on me. And I'm like, I didn't like that. This is America. Men don't kiss men on the cheeks. Am I right? Culturally, I'm right. So the next time he came up, I took a defensive stance. I got there first and I gave him the leading side hug, not giving him a chance to come in for the kiss. It's not part of our culture. I'm not saying we should run around and start greeting one another with a holy kiss, but I am saying this, and here's where I'll close. There is to be an affection. We are to be affectionate towards one another. I'm teaching on Thursday night for Pat Lazovich, Pastor Pat, up in Sierra Vista. And they're greeting, and I'm kind of looking, thinking of this verse. And as they're greeting one another, their eyes are kind of lighting up. They're seeing someone, hey, and then they might greet someone, they'll see someone else and their eyes light up. I think that's what God wants. He wants us to really have an affection towards one another, to really love one another, to really be there and help one another through the dark and the difficult days. I believe this message is a message that is particularly near to the heart of God. And if you are in a need now to receive that affection, then I hope you receive it. And the day we live in, we are more and more isolated. We are becoming more and more isolated. We need to guard against it so that we will still love one another, know one another, be a part of this wonderful team. Come on board. Be a part of what we're doing as we endeavor to reach this city for Jesus Christ and minister to the people who are facing difficulties. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you for this tremendous passage of scripture, that we see the love that Paul had for this team. And thank you that you bring a team together here for us. I thank you for every man, woman, and even child, teenager who works together in this team doing work out of this church. And for other churches that are doing work as well. And we pray that you would indeed help us to get to know one another, really minister to each other. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and edified by what you've heard here on Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, we'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East and Southwest Tucson. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study. Drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore, or take a minute to look through our Mission Thrift Store located at our West Campus, which benefits our various missions projects. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation? email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. That's S-A-V-E-D at calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.